Hey, my name is Chuck Pretner. I'm one of the development directors here at Right at Home, and I want to thank everyone dialing in and joining us for another installment of Tuesday at 2. And what you know about Tuesday at 2 is that's a weekly half-hour conversation where we speak with individuals in franchising, home health, as well as Right at Home. Really get a good insight on some of the key topics that we look at today. Joining us today is Brian Petronic, our Chief Executive Officer here at Right at Home. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks to everybody that joined the call today.
Hey, you know, we're so fortunate to have Brian here. Our topic today is a franchise right for you, the benefits and challenges of being in a franchise system. So, Brian, let's jump right into it. I got a kind of a observation as well as a question here. You know, I've seen over the years a lot of people looking to join a franchise system. If it's Right at Home or another one, hey, they've never really owned a business before. In your 20 years with Right at Home, what do you see as the biggest differences in having a job versus owning a business?
You know, I think it's probably the most obvious one is that the nice thing about business ownership is that your business is yours. So you get to control everything. You get to make every decision that, you know, and evaluate the opportunities in the marketplace, make every decision about your internal team, what you know, businesses you're going to pursue, what businesses you're not going to pursue, you know, all of those things. So I think that, you know, it's really for people that have worked in jobs before and are, looking at doing their own thing, I think that's the one thing that really excites a lot of people is it's just, look, it's I control everything now. There's not some person somewhere or some boss somewhere that's telling me what to do. This is all of mine. The other thing that's nice, I think, and one of the things I've always enjoyed about small business ownership is that you get to, for lack of a better term, you get to play in all of the business disciplines. So when you're running a small business, you get to do marketing, you get to do sales, you get to do finance, you get to do human resources, you get to do legal, you get to do a little bit of everything. So it really builds your business skill set because you're touching on so many different areas which most people never get to experience in their career because they, you know, are fairly single-threaded as most, you know, careers tend to be.
You know, that kind of gets me thinking a little bit. You know, you touched on the idea that there's many aspects of independence in owning a business. Hey, with a franchise system, there are many systems and processes that are provided to you that, hey, you also need to follow to protect the brand and preserve the brand. Maybe could you go a little bit more detail and contrast and compare the two, maybe speak to some of the Right at Home franchisee systems that we're able to provide?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's fair for you know, those listening on the call. I mean, the one thing about our business model here is there is variability to some degree from market to market. So not, you know, picking on a restaurant franchise concept, for example. But, you know, a Chipotle in one market is going to be exactly the same as a Chipotle in another market. The restaurant's going to look the same. It's going to be set up the same way. The menu is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case in Right at Home and in senior care because there's just variability within markets. There's different things that can change from payer sources and those types of things within a market. So one of the things that's really great about a system like this is that we do provide a lot of, you know, software programs, processes, hiring processes, you know, those types of things. But there's still a lot of variability, so the franchise owner then can take that, all of the tools that we provide, and take that and execute those tools in the marketplace based on what the market allows or what the demands of the markets call for. So there is some variability in the model, but you know, like I said, we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that we've addressed a lot of those. So we have, you know, we have, for example, we have a cognitive support program. So if you're finding that it's really important in your market and there's an opportunity in your market to build a base of business around cognitive support, we can do that. You have that program completely built. You don't have to worry about trying to create it. It's done. It's vetted. It actually just got approved last week by the Alzheimer's Association, which is a huge coup for us as an organization.
Wow.
But if you want to go, you know, if you want to do work with veterans and you're in a market where there's a lot of veterans and there's a robust VA system, then we have programs to support that as well. So we've really done over the years, you know, in franchising now for 20 years and in business for almost 25, you know, we've built a lot of programs to allow for that variability and to make sure that our franchise owners have multiple tools available that can help them build their businesses.
So it sounds like someone can have a business, have a bit of independence, but they have all the support and systems there of, wow, 25 years of experience. So that kind of leads me to this question. When someone is looking at Right at Home, or really any kind of franchise for that matter, is there a type of person or a mindset someone has that fits better with a franchise system, more specifically even Right at Home?
You know, I've been asked this question in various forms over the years. Is there a certain personality that works out better, or is there a certain type of, you know, and I guess I'll answer it this way, Chuck. I've done a fair bit of work, obviously, here Right at Home, been here for 20 years myself. But I also did a lot of work. I taught entrepreneurship and business development at the University of Nebraska, and I was an entrepreneur myself at the age of 19 is when I owned my first business. And so I've been around business development and entrepreneurship my whole life, and it's really kind of core to who I am as a person. And so I'm going to pull from all those experiences, and I'm going to say that the one quality that I think is really important for people in to develop, and if they don't have it as kind of a normal part of their DNA, so to speak, it can be developed. And I refer to it as internal locus of control. Actually, that's not my term. That is actually a term that's accepted. Internal locus of control means that you understand that you can't control anything that happens in the marketplace. You can't control outside factors. The only thing that you can control is how you react to them. And so why I think that's really important is because, you know, people can put business plans together and you know, put their best thought and planning into owning and operating a business, even within a franchise system. And then you open up, and three days after you open up, one of your competitors opens up across the street from you. Well, that wasn't in your business plan, and you didn't expect that to happen. But it's a reality. It's now what's happened in the marketplace. So you have to adjust to that. You have to, you know, change your mindset. And if you let those things build up on you and say, oh, my gosh, you know, my competitor's opened across the way, and, gosh, now business is going to be harder or whatever else, versus just saying, all right, they've opened up, no big deal. The only thing I can control, I can't keep them from opening up. I can only control how I react to it. And so there's going to be a number of setbacks. There's going to be a number of opportunities. There's going to be a number of things that happen over the course of trying to start a business, starting a business, and ultimately scaling and building a business. It's going to be a series of setbacks and things like that, as well as opportunities and good days and bad days, and how people react to that. And just, you know, in a simplified form, I always like to say, you just got to remember, no matter what business you're starting, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. It doesn't matter how fast you are out of the gate. It matters if you're going to be around in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. And so one of the things that is really important, I think, in a franchise system is, or I should say at least with our franchise system, is we understand these things. Alan and I have both, you know, been entrepreneurs over the course of our life, so we understand the mental game part of building a business, and that's been addressed in our support programs and our training programs and all of those types of things.
You know, the idea of setbacks and opportunities. that just sounds like day-to-day life, and I love how that's just part of business ownership as well. And I think if someone embraces that, they're going to realize, hey, it's nothing new. That's just how life is, and that's how we go on. Now, here's an obvious one. When someone is looking to get into a franchise, and I hear this all the time when I'm talking to prospective franchisees looking at Right at Home, they simply ask, do I need medical experience? And I guess you could say that applies to automotive. Do I need to know how to fix a car or food? Do I need to know how to run a kitchen? So tell me a little bit, does someone looking at the Right at Home franchise system need to have a medical background?
No, absolutely not. One of the things that, you know, when we first started franchising 20 years ago, and I was the designer of the training program and designer of the support and the operations manual and all the things that we put together to support our franchise system. When I built this training program 20 years ago, I built it off of two assumptions. And those two assumptions were, anybody that came to my training class, our training class was not going to have a medical background. And then the second assumption was that individual also didn't have a business ownership, sales, business development background. And so we built a class to make sure that that individual leaves the class feeling more comfortable about healthcare and certainly more comfortable and more confident in their ability to run a business and to be able to do all of those things that maybe they haven't really done work in finance or accounting before. So we do enough of that in that initial class to kind of build people's confidence and their ability to go forward and do those types of things. So, but I always told everybody when you left training, understand as far as the healthcare industry goes and the other as well, when you leave training, that's just the beginning of your training.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into market and you start operating within the market, it's going to be terrifying to some degree to get out there and walk into a hospital or into a skilled nursing facility or into an assisted living facility and start talking to people because it's so new to you. And people, you know, that in the industry, especially healthcare, we throw out acronyms like crazy. But, you know, interesting, and I'll just kind of relay a story from when our first franchise owners came into the system 20 years ago. They had no healthcare background whatsoever, and so we, you know, put them through the class, and I went out and helped them in the first few days opening up, and then I went back and visited. I want to say it was 3 or 4 months later. You know, I'd done a lot of work with them over the phone, but I went back to visit them 3 or 4 months later, and I was sitting in their office in Palatine, Illinois, after a day of working with them, and we were sitting in the office chit-chatting. And I realized, oh, my gosh, I'm having a really in-depth conversation about the medical community and the healthcare environment with these two individuals who 3 months ago knew nothing about healthcare. But they just became very, very they became experts very, very quickly because you're so immersed in it every single day. And that's one of the beautiful parts of going out and building relationships and business development and selling is that you're going to learn every facility you go into. You're going to learn different things that you've not had before. And so you become an expert really, really quickly. Our programs and what we do here helps that, provides a great foundation, and then getting out in the field really accelerates that process.
You know, I can't help but think, you know, that ramp-up curve where you do become the expert helps you really realize what those setbacks are and how quickly to turn those in the opportunities, because for a lot of the time, they're the same thing. Now, here's one that kind of hits home with me. My wife is a nurse, and for many, many years, we've always enjoyed the predictability of her schedule. You know, the shift mentality. Hey, I got 4 10-hour shifts this week. That's how I'm going to do it. Now, with owning a business and, hey, owning a right-at-home franchise, that's not necessarily the case. So if you could talk a little bit about people that have joined the Right at Home system, either from a medical background, whether they have that shift mentality, or maybe even a corporate background where, hey, I have 15 days a year of PTO. How have they made that transition into the flexible schedule with a Right at Home franchise?
Yeah, it's a great question. Very valid. This is a 24/7/365 business. You know, we have a lot of clients getting care over the holidays, and all caregivers working all hours of the day, evening, nights, and weekends. So, I just generally would answer the question this way. And this is actually related to an earlier question also that I'll kind of also add to. When you first get into this business, it is just going to be a business where you're going to work a lot. You're going to get calls on the weekends, and, you know, some of those calls will be good. It'll be people needing care and a discharge planner from a hospital needing someone discharged on a Saturday afternoon. And so there's those types of things that are going to come up, and you're going to deal with caregivers and you know, filling shifts and things at all hours of the day and night. And that's going to go on for a while. How people transition to it, it's their business. And so it doesn't feel, I mean, it's kind of exciting, and they accept it, and they come into it eyes wide open and realize that's, because, Chuck, we don't tell anybody from day one, hey, you know, this is an 8-to-5, you'll be home by 6 every night and not have to worry about it. I mean, this is what it is. And so everybody knows that going in, they sort of accept it. The ideal, though, is that what we want to have happen is we want our owners to eventually scale their businesses to the point where they're not having to deal as much. You're never going to get completely away from it, but you can build structures using answering services and on-call people and after-hours schedulers and things like that, so you're not having to do those things anymore. And that comes with, you know, evolving and scaling the business and growing the business to the point that, and some people do it faster because they make it a priority. They just say, look, I really want to spend more time with my family on the weekends and be less. So I'm going to prioritize bringing in an after-hour scheduler, and I'll do that before I bring in a salesperson or whatever. So there's some leeway in how the businesses scale and evolve. But ideally, and you had asked me about is it important for people to have healthcare background and kind of the personality of somebody looking when they come in. So related to all of those things is, you know, I'm going to go back to the very famous book that was written years ago on franchising called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. And the E in E-Myth stands for entrepreneurial myth. And so Michael Gerber is a former McDonald's executive, and he talked about why McDonald's was successful. And basically what he said in the start of that book is McDonald's was successful because they didn't teach their franchise owners how to make hamburgers. They taught their franchise owners how to run a business that makes hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about that, that's exactly really what should be happening and what we want to have happen here as well. We want our franchise owners to understand home care and even maybe in the early days do some home care. Get out there, roll up your sleeves, take calls after hours, you know, those types of things that we're talking about. But eventually, for you to build a successful business, you need to run a business that provides home care services. And there's a real difference between those two. And so that's something that we talk about a lot, and with our support teams, really try to encourage that evolution happening where, you know, you're not providing home care services. You're running, you personally are not providing home care services. You're now running a business that provides them.
You know, when you're talking about adapting to the schedule and those responsibilities, I couldn't help but think of when my wife and I were thinking of having the baby and the idea of getting up at 2 in the morning. No one wanted to do that. But then when you had your baby, you were up at 2 and, hey, you couldn't wait to get up and do that. But you know what? The baby grew. And after a year and a half, you weren't getting up at 2 anymore. The baby grew up. The business scaled. A tremendous amount of similarities there. I love that insight. Thank you so much. Hey, here's one thing I hear people talk about. It's like, when is the best time to get into a business? You know, I'll look at it this way. I see kind of we're entering the ninth inning of a bull market. Change is just around the corner. Hey, we saw a similar thing in 2008. Hopefully we don't have to go back there, but it looks like we probably will. If you could, talk a bit about those franchisees back in 2008 before the recession slash depression back then, who joined Right at Home, was able to start a business ahead of the curve, was able to make those decisions based on a position of strength versus, oh my gosh, I lost my job. So just if you could, tell me a little bit about that mentality, being able to get ahead of the economic curve and start your business before, you know, it hits the fan.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. So I don't know if I'll answer it exactly the way that you've posed it, but I guess I'll say it this way. One of the things that I think is really important is, and Alan Hager, who's our founder, I've referenced him a couple times, so I apologize I didn't say that. Alan Hager is our founder, and Alan and I have obviously been together for a long, long time, and you know, I remember him saying a long time ago, we were talking about people joining this franchise system, and I'm going to quote something that he said because it's a phrase that I use a lot and because I really like it. And Alan said, you know, it's important. We were talking about people joining our franchise system, and I was talking about this topic, like when is a good time to join, who's you know. Whatever, and I can't remember if this question came up by a prospect or not at the time. But anyway, so jumping to what Alan said, he said, look, we want people that are running to something, not running away from something.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that idea because that's boundless to economy issues or market ups and downs or whatever else. The way that I view this, and maybe it's because I've been in this industry for so long, we are in a, when you said the, you know, maybe the bull market is coming to an end, the senior bull market is not even close to coming to an end. So we've got another 20 to easily 25 to 30 years of a lot of opportunity to provide care for this senior population that's moving through. So the senior bull market is without question going to be very strong for the next 20 to 30 years. What happens with the market and all that other stuff, I don't worry about it too much because, quite frankly, our business isn't it's not a luxury. When people need care, when they need care for their parents, especially with all the other dynamics and displaced families and divorce rates and all of those types of things that put pressure on family caregivers, we did some of our best growth in the 2008 to 2010 time period, both with new franchise owners as well as just overall system growth. So when someone's thinking about is there a good time to join a franchise system, is there a good time to come into senior care, or however that question's being posed, I would just say the time is when you feel like you're running to something and not running away from something. So if you lose a job or whatever in the economy, then you're maybe, or you think that's coming, then you're maybe running away from something versus running to an opportunity. So I don't know if that makes sense, but if you think about that, that's really what we're looking for. We want people who recognize the great opportunity that senior care provides and really want to build a business doing this because it's something that it feels right to them and the company feels right to them, and that's the best time to go.
You know, one thing you had mentioned, you know, the history of Alan and your experience in this industry as well. I did some quick math. That's 45 years combined of right-at-home experience, close to 65 to 70 years of industry experience. Not saying you're old, Brian. I'm just saying that is a tremendous amount of experience the two of you have. Hey, so let's wrap up with this. In your experience with right-at-home, what is something maybe in we haven't discussed yet, maybe we should touch on with the last few minutes here, that anyone listening in on this call should be aware of, you want to share with them, any last thoughts, really kind of to wrap up our topic today?
You know, I guess the thing that I would probably say, because I'm just talking about this a lot, like you've heard me say it in staff meetings and to the broader franchise system, and that is that this is an industry that's in a real state of change right now. It's all very positive change, but it's in a state of change. As a as a country, we're trying to figure out what to do with our healthcare system. And there's a lot of things that are happening that are, you know, creating changes and waves within the healthcare system. And so change is just going to be a part of this path going forward. So I always like people that are contemplating this coming in saying, you know, I realize, you know, it was years ago, it's still challenging in a lot of ways today. It was a great opportunity 20 years ago. It's still a great opportunity today. But just know that change is a part of this. I use the term a lot internally and with our franchise system that there's two certainties right now in this industry and actually just in the business world right now. Those two certainties are, number one, things have never moved this fast before. And everybody knows that. Things just haven't moved as fast as they are moving right now. The second certainty in today's business environment is they'll never move this slow again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of the nature of what you're going to be coming into. And so I think one thing that's a really good part of that evaluation is just your ability to understand and tolerate change and just know that you've got a partner in Right at Home that is very plugged into the healthcare community and with policymakers in Washington and, you know, and other things. So that's being part of a system is good from that standpoint because we can really help navigate these choppy waters that we're just going to be, you know, dealing with for the next 20 to 25 years. But, again, all of that chop is great opportunity also.
You know, Brian, I love talking to you every chance we get on these Tuesdays at 2. Your insight and your experience in the industry is absolutely eye-opening. So, again, thank you so much for being here today. Wish you happy holidays. And, hey, everyone that dialed in, I thank you guys, all men and women, for being part of this and looking forward to having another Tuesday at 2 next week. Again, Brian, thank you so much for being here.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.